Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Saving Lives in Slow Motion. Today, I'd like to talk about health screening. Well, it's become really fashionable, hasn't it? And every private clinic you go to will offer some kind of health screening. And it's a trend that's increased in the last 20 years. It was quite rare to get these kind of assessments until some of the big private providers started offering them. And really, what most of them are is a history, sometimes not actually just a questionnaire, a physical examination, fairly limited, and some blood tests. And there are some real bells and whistle ones, which offer all sorts, including scans. And, you know, the prices range from anywhere from about £150 using, you know, English currency, which is around about $200, up to, I don't know, £10,000-£15,000 for the really fancy ones with scans. Now, most or all of them use this angle of prevention and picking up on something before it's gone wrong or picking up on something that you didn't know that you had. And I am going to come back to whether it's worth it, because that's the point with these things. One group of patients that seem to have had it for many years, and I remember years ago, someone I used to work with, her husband worked in a big city firm, and he was proudly telling me, this is back in sort of 2003 or 2004, he goes, oh, I have this really thorough health check every year, you know, finger up the bum and everything, really proudly, as though it was going to help save his life. And I remember thinking, okay, great. Well, that's possibly useful if you've got something that shows up on bloods. For example, you've suddenly developed diabetes or high cholesterol, or you've got something that's growing inside your bum. But the yield of what comes up from these health screenings is often either quite low or, and this is my big bugbear, and I'm going to get on my soapbox, makes more work for the people that have to sort it out. And unfortunately, in the NHS, that becomes the job of NHS GPs, who, if you don't know, are on their knees in terms of workload. So let's think about this. You've got a company that's offering screening, takes your money, doesn't do anything about it apart from tells you to go and see your own NHS doctor who's overworked. Doesn't sound very fair, does it? Now, I'm not going to go on about this, but some people listening to this will think, well, hang on, you know, at least they've discovered this issue, and yeah, it should be the GP's job to sort it out. But there is already screening in the NHS, and I want to talk a little bit about that. So proper screening in terms of screening tests that are validated rather than just going and having a whole body scan every couple of years requires certain criteria in order for a screening test to be valid. So for example, it has to be socially acceptable to the patient. So for example, it shouldn't involve having to get a train for 100 miles to go and have the test done. Weird extreme example, but that wouldn't be socially acceptable for a screening test. Another aspect is that it has to be reliable, statistically reliable. So one of the reasons we don't have PSA screening in the UK routinely for men and prostate cancer is because it's not statistically reliable enough. And that means in terms of false negatives and false positives, in terms of the result being accurate, you can't completely reassure someone that they have or haven't got prostate cancer just from that test. It's also got to be safe. It's got to be inexpensive. It's got to be easy to perform. You know, so cervical smear screening ticks all of those boxes. It's very good at picking up changes in the cervix that indicate that the changes are going towards cervical cancer or detecting established cervical cancer. So all the examples I've just talked about are population screening. So in the UK, for example, we have screening for bowel cancer and breast cancer as well. But they're bound by age groups, because you wouldn't sort of screen someone for bowel cancer or breast cancer at the age of 10, for example. But the kind of health screening I was talking about at the beginning is very much focused on the individual. And one of the things that is really palpable in modern medicine is this drive, on the one hand, towards individualization and personalized health, personalized care. And for some people, that means testing everything that can possibly be tested. And that means, you know, your microbiome and all sorts of parameters in your blood, like mineral analyses, you know, your copper zinc ratio, that kind of stuff. Now, this is really at one end. And my view is that very few people need that level of in-depth testing. You can, you know, in a way, go looking for stuff and find things that are just noise and not that relevant. Actually, to be fair, you know, microbiome analysis is mainstream now, isn't it? You can order tests online. But, you know, nothing to do really with your family doctor, I'm sorry to say. And maybe down the line it should be. You know, if we had two streams of work, one focused on prevention, the other one focused on dealing with illness, because they're different things. And by that I mean acute illness. And what's interesting is I knock around a lot of different groups of people. My professional network of colleagues is really broad. And I know people that run clinics that do all of these fancy tests, many of which are super niche. And then at the simple end, if you like, is certainly in the UK, is NHS health screening, which is a simple set of blood tests, really, looking at your lipid profile for cholesterol, which we talked about recently on an episode, your HbA1c for diabetes, and then things like your kidney function and full blood count. Pretty basic. But when is health screening that you pay for useful, and what should happen if something gets thrown up? I think that's those are the two key questions for me. And recently, actually, I had someone who is young and had one of these health screenings and was told that he probably had familial hypercholesterolemia, which is a genetic condition, which means that your liver can't clear LDL cholesterol effectively. So it can build up, and particularly the dense small particles of LDL called lipoprotein A, we know can cause heart disease. So that was a good pickup. But of course, the clinic that picked it up didn't deal with it. It was dumped at the door of the NHS GP. What are the ethics there? Right or wrong? Then there's the story of Karen Brady from The Apprentice, very well-known businesswoman, who had an aneurysm in her brain that was found by health screening. So she did have one of these kind of full body scans. And because it got picked up, she had surgery on it. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying health screening is a good thing or a bad thing? Well, it's often down to what price you put on your health and how much you're able to pay. Very simply. And, you know, in the modern cash-strapped world where there's real austerity, people expect more and more of the services that they get for free, in inverted commas, i.e. the NHS. And we just can't compete with that level. We can't just send people for scans willy-nilly, because it's based on need and based on symptoms. Private screening isn't based on need. That's the whole point. Unless you're doing the specific screening tests that fit a criterion, like cervical screening or breast screening or bowel cancer screening, just, you know, going along to a clinic and having bloods and scans done because you want to know what's going on isn't something that's offered in a health service that deals predominantly with people who are ill or sick. I often talk about this to my friends, a lot of my core friends from years ago, from, you know, for the last 30 years, are medics. You know, my best friends are medics, I have to say, although we don't live that near each other, although we do communicate daily. And most of us actually are not pro health screening for the sake of it. One or two are, and, you know, it's usually because something runs in the family. One of the ones that comes up time and time again in the consulting room in terms of screening. So I'm not talking about this whole body screen stuff because that's really quite expensive and not accessible to all, you know, scans and all that sort of stuff. But one that comes up every day in the NHS consulting room is PSA screening. And this is the blood test that is a can be an indicator of activity in the prostate. Now, it was never designed as a screening test. So back in the early 1900s, doctors would measure PSAs, which is a type of enzyme that's secreted by the prostate gland, to see if the radiotherapy they were using was being targeted appropriately. So, you know, if you had a really high PSA of, say, 4,000 and it came down to 1,000, you knew that you were roughly in the right area. It was all very vague. So it was never designed as a screening test, but the awareness around prostate cancer, which is so important because roughly 1 in 8 men will develop the disease, certainly in the UK. And because there's no national screening program, men often come and ask about it, particularly if a friend of theirs has been diagnosed or they've seen some sort of campaign about it. Now, although it's not a validated screening test, it gives you a rough idea if something's going on in the prostate, coupled with either what's called a PR exam, where the doctor will feel the prostate gland to see if it feels craggy, and sometimes an ultrasound scan to measure the prostate. And, you know, when I do a blood test for this, with a man that's come in asking for it, what goes with that is an explanation that it's not the perfect test. And I think that's important. You know, that's the nuance, is how much of the health screening, the fancier stuff, is going to pick up things that are of no significance. One of the things that we see quite often is when someone's had a scan of their abdomen for some reason in hospital, usually because they've been acutely ill, cysts on the kidney, that's one that comes up again and again. And more often than not, they're nothing to worry about, but it still causes this anxiety. I think the other thing is managing risk and messaging. There's a real issue around these clinics that do the health screening and what they say to the person, you know, oh, your cholesterol's slightly high, you need to go to your GP straight away, you know, like it's life or death. And of course, most things aren't that urgent.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online.
Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, so what's my verdict on health screening? Okay, number one, if you're getting something for free, like through your work or wherever, go for it. But ask questions and make sure that anything that gets thrown up, they are equipped to deal with it. Do not expect your family doctor to sort everything out, particularly if it's a test that we didn't order. Make sure you know what's being tested, why it's being tested, and what the risks and benefits are. These are key questions. If you have a family history of something, then sometimes in our health service here in the UK, in the NHS, there will be mechanisms for you to be seen and screened. Sometimes that isn't available. And you might want to go and have screening tests for something very specific. So I know someone who has a strong family history of heart disease at a young age, but has normal bloods, routine bloods that is, went to see a cardiologist who's a heart specialist and was signed off, but really wanted to know what his risk of heart disease was. So went and had special blood tests done. He had his LPA tested, lipoprotein A, had his homocysteine level tested, which is not a routine test, actually. It's a type of amino acid that makes the blood sticky and can lead to heart disease, particularly in people that have methylation issues or a methylation gene mutation called MTHFR or related variations. And then he went and had something called a 64-slice CT to look at the calcification status of his coronary arteries. Now, it's interesting. Now, this person I'm talking about did this because of their very strong family history of early heart disease. And I personally think that that was sensible. Those tests cost him quite a bit of money, but he at least knows now that, you know, it's very unlikely that he's going to drop dead at 40. Sorry to, you know, use such terms, but, you know, that's where screening's useful because it's targeted and based on a particular story and a particular set of risk factors, in this case, family history. What about if you're the Karen Brady? What if you've got something really unusual that's quite rare and you don't have any symptoms? Well, we could spend another 15 minutes talking about health economics, and depending on where you live in the world and how your health system works, you know, the USA, for example, is very different to, at the moment, very different to how things are in the UK. It's really interesting. Women who hail from Eastern Europe are often used to having an appointment with their gynecologist every 6 months when they have a smear test. And in the UK, we screen every 3 to 5 years, depending on your age. Now, part of screening is based on expectations. So the women who are used to 6 monthly smears wonder, well, why do you only get one every 3 years if you live in the UK? And one of the reasons is that, you know, the smear test is designed to pick up abnormal cells in the cervix, and it takes at least 3 years for a normal healthy cervix to become cancerous. And if you have precancerous cells, your recall will obviously be more frequent than every 3 years, and you may need something called a colposcopy or be seen every year for a smear. So how a patient feels looked after or cared for is very dependent on what they're used to. And, you know, for example, in the UK, cervical screening stops at the age of 65. And I've had conversations with women who feel a bit sort of abandoned. It's like, well, I used to get smears. I mean, how come I don't get them anymore? And again, as I said at the very beginning, this is all based on data and likelihoods and those criteria that make a screening test appropriate. So age range is something that comes into this as well. I want to just also touch on the psychology of health screening. I think this is really key. So there are lots of categories. So one is about how susceptible you are to invisible illnesses or silent killers, you know, things like diabetes, stroke. So high blood pressure, for example, is something that's, you know, important to pick up on. Then there are illnesses where you think could be very severe, and detecting them early will prevent more serious kind of complications. So actually prostate cancer is a good example of this. Picking it up early gives you more in the way of options in terms of watching and waiting. And if you don't know the story of Bill Turnbull and his prostate cancer story, I'm going to post a link to it, because he is someone who feels that had he had a PSA test before he did, then it would have, his cancer would have been picked up sooner. So we've got screening for silent killers, earlier detection of disease. The next category is about well-being, and somehow matching, you know, whatever blood tests and scans show up to how you feel. And then I'd say the last one is about personalized medicine, if you can call it that, where everything is tailored. And usually a practitioner goes through everything in meticulous detail. And the truth is, depending on what kind of person you are and what kind of resources you have, you will fall into one of those categories. Maybe all of them, maybe none of them. Me, myself, I'm somewhere in the middle. And, you know, you'll know from my podcast and my book that I take an Occam's razor approach, because it works for most people for most things. There are so many determinants of health, and screening is just one part. Do I think it's good or bad? It depends. And again, you need to kind of make up your own mind on whether you think it's value added or not. Okay, so that was health screening. I hope that was helpful. And if you are someone who's had some health screening that you thought was helpful, please let me know, get in touch, or vice versa. You know, if you felt you'd been ripped off by a health screen and actually didn't get much value added info, I'd also love to hear from you. Do keep the ideas coming in. I do love to hear them. I try and get through all of them. And once again, thank you so much for your support. I'm overwhelmed by the feedback. I really am. I'm glad this is of use to you. And do like, comment, share, leave a review. Tell your friends and family about this if you think it's useful. And until next time, do stay well. Take care of yourself. Bye for now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.